Late night.
Late night.
Late night.
With Trav.
With Trav
and Lowe's.
With Trav and Lowe's.
Late nights with Trav
and Lowe's.
Welcome to another late nights with Trav and Lowe's.
Trav and Lowe's.
Hey, wait, let me stop you there. Let's podcast.
All right, let's podcast. So last week we had Reagan on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we talked about specializing versus generalizing.
Reagan did a great job.
I thought that was great. You had some great points of view as to one is better than the other. And at the end, we ended with, do what you want.
Just be a human.
Be a human.
And according to Reagan, be a genuine, nice human.
Be a genuine, nice human.
And it works out better for you.
Yeah, so
Speaking of Reagan, just cut you off there. I shared Reagan's interview episode at Google today, which is like a week and a half old at this point, but I was like, right. Oh yeah, I forgot to share this at Google. I'm really good at like creating content and not very good at promoting it, which is like what you don't want to be. But anyway, so I finally emailed it out. Like I sent it out to like a group email, like,
right.
Hey guys, remember Reagan? We all love him, right?
Yeah.
Here's the interview with him. And like everybody at work really liked it.
Oh, so, that's really good. That's,
yeah.
So be a nice person.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're a colleague of mine and you're listening to the show, like your first or second episode, welcome. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Thanks for listening.
It's weird to have somebody that you've met in real life. It's always weird for me.
Yeah.
When they're like, hey, Travis, that was a good episode. I'm like, you listened?
I thought it was only me.
I panic. Like, I'm like, I thought I was just talking to faceless people. Yeah, like basically Lowe's.
Which is a good segue to what I want to talk about.
Let's do
well,
it.
Kind of.
Seg me.
So today I texted Travis and I said, hey, who's our avatar for our podcast? And he's like, WTF, mate.
WTF, mate.
And I'm like, who's our persona? Who are we talking to?
Like a kangaroo. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and Travis was like, I don't know. It's they're invited to our conversation.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what Travis said, the persona is you, Los, my close friend, my best friend.
Yeah. Like the whole theme for me, and actually I was thinking about it earlier today. I was like, cause I'm going through this thing with dev tips. I'm like, do I want to be a dev anymore? Like, cause I've done a lot of dev so far. It's been 2 years. And then with my notes, I'm like, notes is kind of hard to explain, like as the word notes.
Right.
But like, Late Nights and Trav and Lowe's is the only name/brand that I've never even thought twice about changing.
Oh, I love it.
Because
love
the
it.
Theme is, and going back to what I was going to say,
right.
The theme is it's two friends late at night having a conversation.
Having a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And we happen to be both creatives in the design part of things. And we talk about creativity, design, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I love Travis's answer when via text. And so the way that I internalize it was the persona or who I'm talking to is my best friend. And so if you're listening, I'm
am I a BF?
You are a BF.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, we just had a moment.
We just had a moment. So so if you're listening, I'm talking to you as if you're my best friend, as if you're Travis. And
so the listener is a best friend, too.
The listener is a best friend.
Experiencing this, you download this to your phone,
yeah.
Your device. You're a best friend.
You're a best friend.
That's nice.
That's how we're talking to you.
Aww. So
many moments. So which is good because today I want to talk about trust. Okay.
Interesting.
And here's why it's interesting. Trust. It's a super broad topic.
Uh huh.
And so when I focus on this episode, the trust is going to be about trust in the workplace.
Okay.
Okay. And to be even more specific, I want to talk about trust as it pertains to it being a soft skill that you must have and subsequently develop as a designer.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot of ways you can take this, and I kind of like where you're going, because when I think of trust, I think of like, you know, if I was going to teach the topic of trust or something,
right.
I would go for the like, you have to develop trust in your workplace. You have to be able to trust each other's ideas, trust that you're not going to get your ideas shot down or that it's not taken personally. But like what you're saying is not that you have to find a good place that you can trust to work, but like you yourself as an individual
right.
have to develop not just being trustworthy, but to be a trusting
right.
person.
Right.
And now I'm interested in like how you want to.
Yeah. So we're going to go. And so this is something you can focus on building anywhere. And if you're listening, you can build this if you're at an in-house design team.
Yeah.
if you're listening, you're a design agent at a design agency, you can also focus on building trust mm-hmm. as a soft skill. Or if you're a freelance designer, you can also focus on building trust in your one-to-one, one-to-many relationships that you have.
Now, why do you make a note of the differences there?
Because I'm at an in-house design team, and then I was thinking, well, that's my perspective. Does this perspective also work as at a design agency? Does it also work as a freelance designer? And so I'd like to focus and at least let you know that wherever you are, you can build this.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I'm going to talk through how to develop and focus on this.
But you think, just to interrupt you, go back to that. You think it's like the same methods to build trust for whatever these positions are?
That's my thesis.
Okay.
So we'll go through it, and then if you want to push against it or mature or develop it, let's do it.
Let's do it.
So I'll talk through how to develop and focus this soft skill, and the key takeaways that I hope to synthesize for you come from my own experiences, Travis's insights, and some research I've done for you on the interwebs.
Yeah, keep in mind that I've never heard this before, and so I'll be reacting candidly.
Yes, this is a candid response.
And I'll also be acting like an old British professor.
Right.
Certainly candid, my sir, my good chum.
I'm going to lead you a little bit, and I want
forsooth, verily I say unto thee. Well, now I'm old English.
No, I'm verily, like Shakespeare. Verily, I say unto you, bequeath thy lady.
All right.
So, what does trust look like when it's done right?
Am I going to answer that?
Sure.
What does trust look like when it's done right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, So you got two kind of modes of trust, right? Being trustworthy and being trusting.
Okay.
So, and they kind of like feed off of each other, kind of like a cycle. Mm-hmm. But what it means to trust someone is to believe what they're saying is earnest, if they say it is, and also if to trust somebody is give them room.
Okay.
To try something,
right.
Give them room to fail. Don't shut them down early. Don't say that their idea is a bad one mm-hmm. or something like that. Like say that's your intuition. That's your idea. I trust you to carry it out and make a correct decision if it's a good or not a good idea or not.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so like if you're like in the situation and your manager keeps micromanaging you, that means they don't trust you.
Correct.
That's a symptom of not having trust. So that's trusting someone, letting them try something, letting them fail,
right.
You know, if they need to, whatever. Now, being in a situation where you are trusted is exactly on the other side of that coin, right? You feel confident enough to fail in front of people.
Yeah. So this episode will be more around that.
Okay.
On being trusted. It starts from within. So we're going to focus on you, the individual first.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, we'll tell you how you can influence the team and get.
I love it.
Trusted from
I'm excited.
Okay. So another question for you is, and when you're listening, this is also a question for you. What do you do to build trust in the workplace? Or better yet, what have you done in the past and what are you actively doing now? And the key word here is that building trust is an active experience.
Yeah. I think that you can build trust by showing trust in others.
Okay.
Right? So you know, here's going to be a big tactic.
Okay.
Right? We're going to be tactical right now. Tell somebody that you trust them.
Oh, I like that. Simple.
Like just, yeah.
I trust you.
Be like, look them in the eye, treat them like an adult, and say, I trust you. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I have an acquaintance in the workplace, and we're starting a new project together.
Okay.
And I have a little bit more domain knowledge in the area. And
right.
So he's obviously looking to me for signs of what are best practices, what can he do to help and stuff. And I said to him, this is going to be as much yours as it is mine.
Okay.
And I trust you, and we can both feel the freedom to do what we think is best.
Okay. I like
and
that.
Like laying the ground rules that this is a relationship of trust. We both have permission to fail. I think that that's how you have a good starting relationship right there.
That's really good. I like your answers. And if you were to only take one takeaway from everything, it's, and I want to give this to you early, is that I want you all to positively influence trust in your teams.
Okay.
And what you're doing by saying telling someone, I trust you, that is an active influence on your team to build trust.
I mean, that's what I do with my kids.
That's good.
Like, they're if they're going to, you know, whatever, and I'm teaching them a principle, I'll say, now I trust you to carry this forward, or, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, if I give them instruction of, like, don't go run up and down the stairs or something, and I go, I'm trusting you. I'm not going to lock you in your room, right?
Right.
Like, I'm
right.
showing you. I'm going to allow you to make that decision.
Right.
I'm trusting you to make the right one.
I like it.
Okay.
So here are 8 things you can do to be a positive influence for trust in your teams.
Oh, right. 8.
8.
It's a good round number.
It's good.
Uh-huh.
2 circles on top of each other. These 8 things can all be a
like a snowman.
Like a snowman missing his legs. Yeah.
I don't think snowmen have legs.
No, they don't. So these 8 things can all be a conversation starter with your team. However, before you use each one of these topics as a conversation piece with your team, you must first lead by example. So here they are for you.
Got it.
Okay. The first one is clarity. Your goal is to be as transparent and open as possible with your team. You want to avoid uncertainty or vagueness as it pertains to you. You have to remember that, as we mentioned earlier, every interaction is a brand interaction. By earlier, I mean earlier in our podcast.
How much do you think that communication plays into fostering trust?
Oh, it's key.
Can you over communicate and like therefore be like too much in their face and feel controlling?
I don't think so. I think from the beginning, like if it's a new team or a new relationship, over communicating is best, and then you can reel it back in.
Interesting.
Once you understand each other.
Okay.
And understand the team. So what does every interaction as a brand interaction look like? What does clarity look like? And I'll give you an example that I've experienced myself. So for example, if I'm about to miss a deadline, I'll make sure my team knows that I'm going to miss that deadline as soon as I know.
Oh, interesting.
Right? I'll let them know that I need help. I have also had times when a project has been assigned to me and it's the first time I'm doing a task. And this, for example, can be managing an outside agency to help design something.
Yeah.
I'll let the team know that I haven't done this before and I'm excited to learn, and that I will lean on those that know what they are doing if I run into any problems.
I think not being afraid to acknowledge a shortcoming is an indicator that you have a large amount of trust in the way that they see you.
Yes.
Right? It's a sort of confidence that you can actually... Because one of the reasons people procrastinate in, like, for example, giving bad news, I'll be in late today or whatever, or I won't have that thing on time. Like, have you ever worked with somebody and like, you feel like something's going wrong and they just, like, drop out of communication? Like, what happened? Where did they go?
They disappear.
And
deadlines now.
They just miss it completely and they never acknowledge it? Mm-hmm. That's just fear, right? They're afraid to tell you bad news or whatever. And that's because you don't have that. There's not that trust.
Right. Trust in your team or self-trust in your own abilities.
Yeah. I mean, having trust, we talked about confidence a few podcasts ago. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how trust is a builder of confidence.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that was the first one. The second one is connection.
I want to see how you bring this one around.
Right, so connection. It's natural for people to follow others and to build relationships. Right?
Follow others. Okay.
Right. What can you do to connect and engage with your team? What can you do to improve relationships and reduce conflicts?
Just follow them on Twitter and there you go. There's trust in your community. Yeah. No, I don't know.
When Travis shares a podcast with you, you listen to it. No, so for example, you can set up a team outing and get to know the people you are working with outside of work.
Okay, that is really interesting. So you and I went to Adobe and did some recordings this week.
Yeah.
This is interesting because I was with them the day previous.
Right.
So we were with them for 3 days, and on the second day, you joined me and we went out together.
Correct.
The difference in our relationship between the first day, which is very business oriented, like this is what we're going to do. You did a good job. Here's the, you know, where's the bathroom? It's over there.
Right.
You know? Yeah. The bathroom. Yeah. I don't know. That's a bad example.
Where's the nap room?
Where can I take? No, it's just like everything was very like professional, right?
Yeah.
We went out the second night. We went to a bar. Mm. We danced. We told the funniest jokes. We were out there, you know, all hours of the night together.
Yeah.
And then the next day, everybody was just like so much more trust and like familiarity and friendship. Like Lo, who was our handler.
Right.
She was giving me hugs when we were saying goodbye. She was texting me after we left and telling me like how much fun she had.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It does wonders. And
yeah, so take your team into a comfortable place and let those natural vibes kind of take over the relationship.
That's right. Or that's good. And here are some other examples. You can set up a time to play a board game.
Mm-hmm.
Or set up what I've learned at my company and I've taken for myself, and it's called a cuddle session.
What?
A cuddle session.
I want to know all about cuddle sessions.
It's a cute term for when you meet for 30 minutes and you talk about each other's weekends or what you're doing this weekend or
this is interesting.
What are you excited about? This is coming this month.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a bit of a hard person to like.
Right. Right.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
My introversion can sometimes be overbearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when people are talking to me about their weekend, I'm often thinking, like, looking them in the face and saying, "Yeah, interesting," but thinking, like, "When is this conversation going to be done?" And I'm not. Okay, that's maybe that's an over exaggeration, but the point is like maybe I'm not taking advantage of these moments.
Right.
Right? The moment in the hallway where you stop the person and you say, "Hey, you did good work." But it's not just like a hey, you did good. It's maybe it's a moment where I can build a relationship with them and gain trust.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I should rethink the way I interact with people.
Maybe.
Don't be an ass. Be nice. Gain trust. Got it. Okay. Next.
No. And like the reason this is one of my favorite ones is because
this is a good good podcast, Los.
Okay.
I needed this. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. You're welcome. You're my best friend.
Aww. Cuddle session.
Cuddle session.
Pause the podcast. Let's cuddle. What is that?
It's a cricket.
Oh, I thought it was a sexy alarm clock. Like it's purring.
This is a favorite of mine because my team's headquarters is in Australia.
Yeah.
We have a team in Austin, and at bigger companies or design agencies or freelancing, it tends to be remote teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so if you can spend the time to hang out outside of work and build these relationships, you're becoming friends. Friends trust each other.
It's right? Such a skill to be able to be a friend with somebody.
It is. And that's the whole, like, that's part of the point of this thing.
Yeah.
That we call a podcast.
So I want point number four. What are we on next?
We're on number three.
I want four.
That's only number two. Number three is compassion.
Oh.
So you were alluding to this earlier. We need to care about each other.
Yeah.
How are you showing concern for your team? What are you doing to be compassionate and empathetic to your team? Here's an example. Have you ever been sitting at your desk and you see someone banging their head metaphorically against the keyboard, like they're frustrated, like something's happening and you know something's wrong? It's easy to sit and like turn your music up and just be like, whatever. If they need help, they'll come ask for help. What if you switch that conversation and you can tell that someone is frustrated with something, and you look over their shoulder and see if you can help? Even if you can't, the mere fact of you walking over will give them some encouragement and solidarity in the problem or frustration they are experiencing. Even if you're not a help.
Yeah. What does that do for you? Or what is that?
This is compassion. What is that?
It's
for the team.
It's for the team.
It's for the team, so that when what you're doing is you're showing them that, like, hey, like, I'm interested in what you're doing.
I'm cringing right now. Like, in my mind, I'm like, now we're going to waste two people's time?
So obviously, right, you don't do it every time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's to let everyone know, I'm here to help if you need any help.
Uh-huh.
Break down those barriers so that when someone does have a question, they're more
That's true.
Apt to come to you.
Okay, yeah, we're talking about trust,
talking about building passion.
I get it.
It's not about wasting your time.
See, it's a whole paradigm shift we need to go through here. I need people like you in my life.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, my wife is similar. to you in that way that she starts with compassion, and I have to teach her practicality.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I start the other way around, and I have to learn compassion and patience.
It's a good mix.
We complement each other well.
You complement each other well. All right, so that's number three.
Uh-huh.
Number four, which is the one that you wanted to.
I want
to
know number four.
You want to come to?
I just really want it.
Number four is value. People love to support and to be around people that have the same values.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing to help each other align on values? Now, here's what's important. These values don't need to be moral value alignment, because we can have different moral
just
values.
Like interests, right?
They can be workplace values or project-specific values.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So before you start a project, you can create a rules of engagement session. Okay. And this is when you come up with a list of values you all create together. For example, one of those values can be this. If you need help, ask for it immediately.
That's interesting. And I think these can be expressed in the community that you're in already. Like you mentioned per project values. And I'm thinking like Atlassian, which is the company that you work.
Correct.
They have a pretty outspoken set of values already. Mm-hmm. You know, be the change you want to see is one of them that I remember that I really love. I think about that all the time.
Be the change you seek is how they say it.
Okay. Be the change you seek, mm-hmm. which is a pretty great value. And I think that, you know, like Google has one. That's my employer. That it's like, don't be evil.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which I think is a great one to rally around, you know? And I wonder if they have to be per project basis. Like you could just kind of look at our culture and say, what do we value? But I was thinking about another thing. And I wonder if this kind of, I don't even know if this really works. But
okay.
I was outlining a project with some engineers. Mm-hmm. And I thought, just to help them understand where I'm coming from as a designer,
mm-hmm.
creating experiences and interfaces and mm-hmm. things. I outlined principles like to maintain the user's trust, we want to show them X
right.
at all times.
Right.
And to help them understand why I'm making certain choices.
Mm.
And they just really latched on to that.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
I'm happy you did that.
Yeah, no, they loved it. And they were like, that makes complete sense. And they wrote even more. They wrote a few more after I had gotten done explaining.
That's really cool, right? Because that's our goal as a designer or any creator, any developer.
And those are per project values.
Yeah, they are per project values.
Yeah, okay.
You want to maintain trust with the customer, right?
And
for this project, this is what we're showing. Right?
Uh-huh.
These are the values we're all aligning to.
Yeah, one of the... So I work on search, and one of the principles was like, we want to let the user know that we have, even though we're showing you 10 blue links, you know, that we have 10 blue results,
right?
But we have thousands of results, right?
Correct.
How do we let you know that and maintain that confidence?
Mm-hmm.
And those will be principles that will push the UX.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
Number five, competency. We have confidence in those who stay fresh and innovative and competent.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I lost my place.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing to grow? Here we go. I've got a clean one. I'm going to start it all over. Number five.
Yeah.
Competency. We have confidence in those who stay fresh, innovative, and competent.
Uh-huh.
So what are you doing to grow your competency?
You know, this is interesting. And when I talk to people, especially like through avenues like Dev Tips, and mm-hmm. a lot of people are asking me like, oh, how do you get your first job? Or, you know, like doing, you know, how do you get more clients or better clients or whatever it is?
Right.
One of the first things I say is like, we have to understand a few givens.
Okay.
Right. Before I tell you what to do, I'm going to tell you a few givens of who you need to be.
Right.
First, you need to be good.
Yeah.
Right? You actually need to be good.
Be good.
Right.
Be competent.
Be competent, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's like such a fundamental thing.
Yeah.
And it's surprising how many people try to, I don't know, maybe they just don't know they're not good enough yet, but they try to like overstep that, right?
Right.
They're like, wait, okay, I've got XYZ. I know how to do jQuery. Now I should have all the clients, or I should have Nike as a client, or whatever it is. You know, like they should go straight to the big fish.
Right.
But like, there's a level of basic competency.
There is a level
that is necessary to, in this case, in this context of this conversation, to have trust.
Yeah.
For me to trust you, Los, and work together with you, I need to like basically believe that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If I don't have that fundamental belief and trust and confidence in your competence,
yeah,
there's no way. Like, I'm going to be like, are you sure you know what? Let me just do that. You know, like I'm not going to trust you with anything.
Right. So what are you doing to grow your competency? In a previous episode, I hosted and spoke about building self-confidence and how it's a byproduct of two other skills.
Oh, right? Are you asking me? Because I can remember.
No. Now I'll tell you. The first is understanding.
Testing me. Testing
me. No, this is not a test. This is a synopsis.
You're testing my competence.
No.
Go ahead.
The first is understanding where your strengths and weaknesses are and compare that to what your peers think. The second is focusing on narrowing the delta between the two. So have you spent time being introspective?
Mm-hmm.
Open question.
Have you spent time being introspective and have you gathered data from others about yourself? Right?
Yep.
Hey, do you think I'm performing pretty well right now?
This is how I think I'm performing.
Hey, how do you think that last podcast went?
Yeah.
So just like, you know.
Yeah.
Like we do that all the time at Google. I'm working on something and I think it's good. And I go, hey, the guy that sits across from me, Pablo, he's been at Google for like 5 years.
That's a long time.
He's been at Search for I think 3 years. He knows the content, the topic,
he's an SME, subject matter expert.
Yes, right. He has a huge domain knowledge in what I'm doing, and I check with him. I go, hey, does this look googly?
Okay, that's good.
Like, does this look like we did it? Yeah. I don't want it to look like Travis did it. I want it to look like we did it.
Right.
And he's like, this, and this, and I learned from him so much.
That's really cool.
Just because of that.
That's right. So he's competent.
He's competent, and I have a trust in him. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when I'm able to check with him, I'm able to move the delta between he and I a little bit more each time.
A little bit
so
closer.
So I'm closing that gap.
It's a good feeling.
It's
a good feeling. Number six is commitment. We trust those who demonstrate a commitment to action. Okay? What this means is how can you take responsibility and fulfill it? When you raise your hand to get something done, are you committed to see it through?
I like that. There is a word called integrity.
I like that word.
Integrity means that you do what you say you are going to do.
We've talked about this a long time ago.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's essential. Mm-hmm. But like not just commitment, because commitment is a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity is the fulfillment of those promises.
Yes.
And so I'd like to bump up your language right here.
Let's level it up.
Let's level it up.
To
integrity.
In, how do you spell that?
You're actually like taking the note. Okay.
That's good. That's good. I like that. So number six is integrity.
Mm-hmm. When you see, so it's not just someone saying, oh, I'm going to definitely take this principle or this task or whatever, but you see that they have a track record of coming through with whatever they say they will do. Mm-hmm. And then that builds trust, of course.
That's right. Number seven, contribution.
Mm.
We are all motivated and engaged when we deliver results.
Yeah.
People trust results. Are you consistently getting things done?
This is interesting. And, you know, like I completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. And what I thought of when I heard the word contribution, I thought for some reason of like the motivation behind an individual's contribution.
Okay.
Right? So like if you're working with somebody, like why are they doing this project? Is it because they're being told to?
Okay.
Is it because they really want this project to help other people? Is it because they're going up for a promotion soon?
Okay, that makes
sense. You know, like is it a strategy play for them?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they trying to build something great?
Okay.
And The word is what?
Contribution.
Mm-hmm. What are they contributing and why? I guess is where I went with that mentally.
Mm-hmm. That works. Would that be motivation?
Yes, it would be in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, like what kind of things are they contributing?
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, like are they contributing only the visible things that like their manager will see?
Oh,
or are they contributing things that like are organizational and fundamental?
Are they actively influencing trust in a team?
Uh-huh.
A soft skill.
Yeah,
there trust. You go, trust. Number eight is consistency.
Yeah.
We love consistency. We are creatures of habit. Are you consistently delivering on what you set out to do? Is your team trust and confidence rising or falling in your ability to consistently get things done?
Mm-hmm. Do our listeners of this podcast trust us?
I hope so.
Do they believe that every Tuesday morning they're going to have an episode?
They believe that.
We've gotten messages where people wake up in the morning and check their phone on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And that's because we've built that trust through being consistent.
We have.
Uh-huh. And if you think about not just in team building, but in like the long game, right?
Mm-hmm.
You build, in the beginning of the show, you opened up by saying every interaction is a brand interaction. I'm talking about you as a personality, the Los brand.
The Los brand.
If you show up every day in however that looks, you know, if you perform, if you have integrity, pull through with what you say you're going to do, all this stuff, you're building consistency and trust the whole way through.
Right. I like that.
And that's the long game.
That's a long game.
Consistency.
Consistency.
Sean West, whom we just love, Sean.
We do.
He says people don't notice announcements. He's talking about like if you launch a product or something.
Right.
He said people don't notice announcements. They notice consistency.
Yeah, that is
true. And I think about that all the time when I'm like publishing something new, and he's talking about in terms of marketing. Like if you're gonna, like, let's say we're publishing a how to podcast course.
Yeah.
Are we talking about it once and expecting everybody to flock to it, or are we talking about it every time we publish a podcast? By the way, we're gonna launch soon. We're gonna launch soon. We're gonna launch soon, and they have that consistency.
That makes sense. I like that.
He's a genius.
He is a savant.
I think so.
He's a savant.
He is. Yeah. He's certainly a savant.
He's a savant. So those are the eight. Number nine is fill in the blank, Mad Libbit. You can put in anything here.
You literally wrote number nine and it says, what else is important to you? Question mark.
Yeah. What else is important to you?
Cool.
Yeah, so if it doesn't fit into
it's like it, saying, like, whatever else. So, et cetera.
Et cetera.
Et cetera.
We can end it at eight. I want to leave room for you to add anything to the list. Other. How'd you hear about this product?
Other.
On the subway?
On
in a radio? A friend? Family member?
On the subway. Other.
Other. So after you've gone through all of these, you'll have an accurate picture of where you stand in providing and increasing trust within your team. Once you have an accurate picture, you can switch these questions towards your team. Okay, remember, lead by example. Once you feel competent in your ability to do everything you can to build trust and influence that in your team, you could set up a meeting for an hour with your team before a project or during a project and let everyone know that you're going to run a trust meeting.
Yeah.
Right? And you go through all of these with them.
What's interesting is that by doing the exercise that you're outlining,
right,
you're actually putting all these principles into practice.
Correct.
Communicating, showing competency by outlining these things. Like if you, like, imagine yourself, you're in a meeting.
Right.
And you're saying, like, I'd like to set up a trust huddle or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
A cuddle session. A cuddle session. And or whatever, you know, like a meeting where we outline some principles.
Right.
And like, okay, cool. We reconvene in the meeting. And then you're conducting now and you say, okay, these are the things, the eight principles that I think we should talk about it to have trust, build trust in our meeting, build trust in our community, group,
team,
office, whatever, team. Mm-hmm. And then you like on the whiteboard, you write out these eight things. Boom. Competency.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all this, I just said boom. I don't like it when people say boom, but I said boom.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just showing off these principles.
Right.
As you're trying to teach them.
That's good. And to end this podcast, as is habitual for us.
Yeah.
We love when you leave.
Consistent for us.
It is consistent with us. We love when you leave an iTunes review for us. It helps with search and having us go up the charts, etc. And we appreciate it so much. And it is our thing to do. We read them on air.
We just want to honor the time you take to give us a review. So this is number 36. It's written by someone named Balismus. And there's 5 stars. The title of this review is, who needs creativity?
Okay.
So you might like, they're going to be confrontational. Who needs creativity? You can read that in a few ways. Who needs creativity? Or who needs creativity?
I like that one.
Which one do you want to read?
Who needs creativity?
Who needs creativity? Okay. the content reads like this. That's a dumb phrase. Okay. And Ballismus says, my friend put late nights onto my phone with no notice to me.
I want to know who your friend is.
Yeah. Who's like the magic, like, genie, like fairy princess sneaking into people's houses and leaving Kevin Lowe's on their phones when they're not looking? They're my friend now.
They're my friend. If you're invited
to the next cuddle session.
Yeah, you can all take a cue and find your do-si-do and grab their phone and put Travin Lose in it.
New assignment, go put Travin Lose on somebody else's phone. I love this. They subscribed this person. This person was subscribed to us because somebody hijacked their phone, I guess, with no notice to me. And for several weeks, I listened without any idea of the context of the info. I'm a chiropractor. Yeah. But I love this podcast.
Yes. Crack my back.
So like, this person didn't realize this is like a designer-y kind of like creativity. They're like, who needs creativity? I'm a chiropractor. But I love this podcast. And last week, I used Lose's brainstorming techniques to lead a national meeting of young doctors.
Whoa. What?
Isn't that crazy?
What?
That's flipping cool.
What? That's so cool.
I don't even know what to think about that. Like, he or she led a national meeting of young doctors with your brainstorming technique.
That's so cool.
New Rivers, and what was the other one?
Mind mapping.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what I'm saying is everyone in the world needs reminders of how to be more creative. Not as confrontational as I thought.
Not as confrontational. That is so cool.
So that was an awesome review. I really appreciate the time and energy you put into searching us on the phone and, like, you know, signing up and leaving the review. So awesome. And also a big thank you and a cuddle session to your friend who snuck in the middle of the night and subscribed you to our podcast. They are awesome.
Yes. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. You